Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.
That's right. We are indeed specialists in Bible-based content. And you can now immediately go to the SID Media pages, YouTube as well as Facebook, and watch everything going on live from those platforms. Okay, so we read the book of Malachi chapter 3, which tells us that we ought to bring all our tithes into the storehouse. And we also learned about the church, hey, that the storehouse is the church, the local church, but that is not what happens in our case, because the money offered is all taken to the conference, kind of like the body corporate of all churches within a particular domain. What thereafter happens, we are yet to discover. Joining me right now is Elder Trey Ngube as he takes us through this conversation. A very good morning to you once again. Thank you for your time.
Good morning to you, Millicent. We praise the Lord for yet another day, another week. We're grateful. Thank you for having me today again. And good morning to the listeners.
Thank you so much. I don't know if it's me, but I know you are a podcaster because I'm hearing. Do you hear the sound? Do you hear the...
Yeah.
I'm not sure what it is. On my side, it sounds peaceful. So I don't know, do you need a few minutes to just try and see what that might be? Yeah.
How is it now as I'm talking?
It's whizzy.
It's whizzy. What could it be? I'm not so sure the feedback.
There's no echo. It's just like a bit of a... in the background. I don't know.
Okay, I've closed my windows. I tried to make sure the noise. And how is it now?
Yeah, it's a con. I really don't know what it is. What's it? Can I give you a few minutes? Do you want to try?
Okay.
Maybe we should speak directly without the headsets. But last week it was working well, so I'm not sure why today it's a bit.
Okay. Maybe let me do this, because last week I had not. Let me remove.
Yeah. Connect this one directly. Okay, let me try again. How's it now?
Much better, I think.
I disconnected because I was just, I connected this mic. Yeah. I thought maybe it may give like more clarity, but am I clear today?
Mm-hmm.
Am I clear now?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, make do. Right. I understand what you're trying to do. I do understand what you're trying to do, so that the outside noise is also just completely, by the grace of God, without any interruptions. Should I pray today? Let's pray together as we begin this lesson study. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this moment that you have brought us together to study your word, looking at tithes and offerings, one of the things, the core components of stewardship. And we ask that as we delve into the subject, dear Holy Spirit, you may interpret the word for us, and we may leave here understanding better what our role is as people who attend this, you know, church and want to minister together to other people, evangelize, and making sure that your word goes to all the world. This is our humble prayer in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So, Elder Trey, we spoke and had a very interesting conversation last week. I'm going to start off. I'm jumping right into the conversation. So that the local church, right? Across the world, we've got many different churches, of course, right? We've established that our church structure is very... Yeah, it's very particular. It's very, very particular. And there's a hierarchy. There's a hierarchy. So the local churches now across the world, literally just yesterday, because we go to church on Sabbath, most of us, they took mission offering, Thanksgiving offering, maybe building, a Sabbath school class offering, divine service offering. They took tithes and their normal offering. Yes. Yes, that's seven different offerings, my goodness. That money is well on its way to the local conference. What happens thereafter? Seven is a lot as well.
We have quite a lot of offerings. But yeah, as you have mentioned, so mission offering, that one, yes, goes to the conference, because the conference is the one that determines. You know, obviously, it's also sent to the Union, to the division, and to the General Conference. Then it goes to the global mission. So, like in the Sabah School class, in the Sabah School, then there's a mission offering that is collected. So that offering goes to the conference. And then Thanksgiving offering, that one remains obviously at the local church.
Okay.
We have, like mentioned, building other churches. Yes, they did collect a building offering, and that also money goes to the local church because of it has to, you know, whatever, if the church is, has a building project, they want to build their church, they're doing renovations, whatsoever, upgrades, so that money remains at the local church. Then there's the Sabbath school class offering. The Sabbath school class, those baskets that go through Sabbath school. So Sabbath school has its expenses. Sabbath school, because every member that comes to the church, whether you're a baptized or non-baptized member, you belong to the Sabbath school department. So so there are certain expenses, you know, sometimes guest days, when, because that offering is collected, the Sabbath school is the one that is responsible for such days. You know, sometimes in other churches, the Sabbath school department teams up with the welfare department. They make provision for visitors in terms of lunch and food that will be prepared for the church. And sometimes the Sabbath school a class offering also, it's used to buy resources like, you know, literature and books, because, you know, Sabbath school has actually certain mandates in the church also in terms of outreach, fellowship, Bible study. So they make sure their resources as a department, because that department runs on a daily, on a Sabbath basis, so they need funds. And then we have the divine service offering. Now, I think where the church needs some education when it comes to the divine service offering, because what happens? Now, there are two, let me say, contrasting statements that we have, because in the church manual, it says that offering, you know, somebody just comes into the church, they just put 50 rand into the basket. That 50 rand, because it's an unaccounted for, we don't know what its use is. So the church manual says that money should be retained by the local church for whatsoever expenses that would be, because it's not stipulated or stated, because the operations of it, of the church, it also needs money, because the church has to pay bond, it has to pay tariffs and rates and all those kind of things. So when that money is collected, then the church can actually, you know, meet those demands of the church. But the tithe envelope says when that money is collected as a lump sum, when somebody just put 50 rand into the basket, so what it means is that the treasurer of the local church divides that money into two, 50%, 50%. So in this case, when we're 50 rand, the 25 rand remains at the local church, and then the 25 rand has to go to the local conference. So the local conference would take that 25 rand as a 50%, then they'll divide it as a 50%. Now 20% of that 25 rand remains at the local conference, then 5% goes to the union, and then 5% goes to the division, then 20% goes to the general conference for world mission. So when it, when it's put as a lump sum, when we're collecting during divine service. So this is what actually the tithe envelope says in the, in the, in the church manual says. And then obviously tithes, they are stipulated, they go to the, to the, to the conference. And then obviously those are the local, and then the seventh one, I think, is the local church fund. So so what happens when somebody obviously highlights, I think last week we spoke about the tithe envelope, when somebody is offering, I think the education is people should always use, I mean, the tithe envelope, so that they know, so that the treasurer knows where is this money going to. So because you are the one who is offering, your tithe is there, you write your building offering if you want the money to go to the youth department, to the welfare department, to the Dorcas department. So you highlight there. But if that is not highlighted, when that money is collected during divine service as a lump sum, now the treasurer, then that money accumulates in the church account. I mean, at a given time, the board now decides to divide it to these auxiliary departments of the church according to their needs and according to priority, you know, how the departments should operate, because each and every department, you know, the pathfinders, the adventurers and all, they need money in certain activities and certain programs that they do. So sometimes they get money from that money, which would have been offered as a lump sum when it's not highlighted clearly on them. On the envelope, yeah.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Beautiful introduction. So some of the stuff, it's clear what happens with the money. So now we know some money stays at the local church. Like you gave a very clear example with Sabbath School and how money can then be used for different projects in the Sabbath School department. But so local church is more easy to understand how the money is used, because you would probably have business meetings where we discuss, hey, let's do this, you know, this is the amount of money that we're going to need, let's get a new carpet, whatever it is. With now the money going to the conference, what then happens to each of these different offering monies when they get to the conference? Yes, I understand. And so does everyone else that we've got world missions. So the assumption is evangelism. That's vague. What does that mean? Yesterday, I was also speaking to our Hope Channel directors, saying we've got supporting ministries, for example. Do they get help from the church? For example, you've got a YouTube channel. You've got a project that you... what exactly, when we say that this money runs the mission of the church from those conferences, whether it's GC, the division, the union, whatever, where exactly is it going? What is it doing?
I highlighted a suggestion last Sabbath concerning how the conference maybe may, you know, help us in understand, you know, how the funds are actually dispersed. I checked only one conference. I'm not going to mention the name because of the conferences that are here. That had a financial report. Mm. That financial report, it was last uploaded on their website. I think it's 2018. Yeah, it was it was 2015 to 2018. And that is the time I saw. Then I just went through it. There's quite a lot of things that I saw that, you know, the conference split, how the money is actually, you know, used. They talk about buildings and other conferences. As far as I looked at that, they acquire properties outside of, you know, the church building properties. They take the money and invest in acquiring properties, and then they lease out to other people. So it's more like of a business running project that is going on, where the money is invested into those particular projects, and then it retains rentals and stuff like that. So in other words, you know, the money is there and it's invested in other projects and stuff like that. So it's a little bit tricky because we don't have the inside information exactly from the conference how this money is actually utilized. But what we clearly know as members of the church, that pastors actually paid on that, and we are clear and we know of that. Administrators also at the conference, they're paid from that tithe money. But when we look at our church history, around between 1930s to 1950s, every conference that was in existence then, when the church was actually growing at that time, every conference then, it used to have pastors, it used to have literature evangelists who are salaried, it used to have the conference evangelists, it used to have medical missionaries, which were actually paid by the conference itself. So we will do well. I mean, if maybe we start, you know, engaging with the church, with the conference going forward as a church holistically in terms of the subject of how other ministries that exist in the church, they need to be supported from the tithe money, because we have a lot of people that are so zealous, inspired by God to get engaged in the work of ministry and evangelism and stuff like that, so which they need to be paid by the conference from the tithe money itself.
Wow, that's a lot. And I wonder then when a decision was then taken to kind of take away that system, to change the system, Ubuthi, we're not going to salary evangelists and medical missionary workers and, all the different offices that were basically employed by the conference. And I know some people do prefer, obviously, to go it alone without the conference, because you feel like it's kind of like politics. When you're part of a political party, you have to agree with everything, even if there are things you don't agree with. And maybe sometimes you prefer to then separate yourself so that you can fully speak your mind. If there are things that you're not comfortable with, no one is going to say, hey, when I toe the line. So I get that part as well. But I'm really wondering, for those people who really don't have a problem with anything that the church leadership says, why then they don't get taken under their wing. That's an interesting point that you're raising there, Brother Trey. We're speaking about the distribution of tithes and offerings and how that is done, or should be done, used to be done. If you would love to weigh in on this conversation, you may put your comments there on the SID Media pages, Facebook or YouTube, alternatively on our WhatsApp line, which is +27734703520. Jay, do we have too many offerings in the church, do you think? Or is it a well-oiled machine? It's good. It's doing a great job. Let's continue with it like that. Oh, my goodness. And I do wonder where those dividends are going, what those dividends are doing for that conference that obviously is leasing out properties and stuff like that. If that's the case, that would be a good report to have. Nonetheless, do we have too many offerings in the Adventist Church, or it makes sense?
Yeah, that I think, there's a time that, from my local church, because we've been having a building project for some years, the baskets, obviously, if we follow the system, how the church operates in terms of collecting offerings, you'd notice that we have an offering that you mentioned, like during Sabbath school. There's a mission offering, there's Thanksgiving offerings, there's birthday offerings that people go and put into the basket there. Then during the classes, the basket goes around again, which collects the Sabbath school class offering. During divine service, there's another basket that goes around. So it kind of like monotonous in a way. And obviously other people, because before I became an Adventist, I remember I think been to different churches, and I went to a Roman Catholic school, and I remember when I was a Roman Catholic, there was just one offering basket that just went around once. For the collection of offerings. Yeah, just once a day. So we kind of like have a very good system. I think if we can use a tithe envelope, because today, I mean, we have digital banking, and where we can actually, send our money once to the bank account. You don't even need to wait for the Sabbath to come. You can actually do a transaction today to the church account. Then you can send the proof to the treasurer. They do the transaction. Then you tell them, splitting down your offering, that, okay, according to the tithe envelope, I need this money to go this, and there. So we don't need to be having, baskets going about. And also, we need to really maybe emphasize this to the local churches, because it protects us from the robberies now that are happening in the churches when we collect cash and keep it in the church. We have had incidents, and we have seen like churches getting robbed because of the cash that is in the church. So if we can, move to the digital banking and allow people to make their offerings through digital, just a once-off offering. And then maybe the basket only runs once a day, maybe during divine service, where people are putting their monies in the tithe envelope, those that have not done so with, and then maybe for visitors who don't really know how the church functions, they get the opportunity to offer that during the divine service offering. So it's just, I feel like, yes, we have quite, you know, too many of these offerings, and sometimes, you know, the collection, it's just so tardy.
It feels a lot.
Yeah.
It does feel like it's a lot. And I think that would be a good system, maybe if we had a once-off collection and you know from the tithe envelope how you want to distribute the money. Because the truth is, when, you know, even when we were kids, you would count, okay, 1 rand for this, 1 rand for that, 2 rand. Fela joalo, you'd give the, you know, I would give the most good divine service and then you, however way. But yeah, it can appear like, yo, this church, if you don't have money, oh, coming here is weird, because I always sit in church and I can never give anything for other people. It does feel a bit weird, like, I can't ever, when do I give? Should I give at Sabbath school or should I give at divine service? But it sounds like divine service is the most ngwelengwele time. So, you know, like, a bit tricky. So, I do think that's something that we need to find a way, a better way to manage that system. So in the Old Testament, Brother Trainer, when they gave, was it not always to achieve a particular goal? Like, we are building the temple, then therefore bring, you know, the gifts. Was giving just random? Or was it because there's something that we are working on? And then I understand then when we had the system with the Levites, when the Israelites were now, you know, a proper nation, of course, then there was that instruction. We'd see they work in the temple, therefore they need to get the necessary help as priests. But I don't know, how do you see it, but really what does the Bible say about the giving, looking at the history back in the days?
The Bible is just clear in terms of the giving. Maybe let me just read, what's this, Leviticus 27 verse 30. I think it's clear on that regard. It says here, because before we get to Leviticus, you'd realize also in Exodus chapter 25, maybe let me just start there, because this is where we see the exclusivity of giving in Exodus chapter 25. God is speaking to Moses, and it says here, I'm reading from verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly, with his heart ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them. Then God now stipulates the type of offering. We know that at that particular time, God wanted the children of Israel through Moses to build him a sanctuary. Mm. So they brought offerings. So God asked them, but it wasn't a forceful matter. It was a willing offering. Now that offering is different to the tithe, because maybe I could just maybe move ahead concerning that, that, you know, the tithe according to the Bible is more like of a commandment rather than an offering. Because an offering, you offer willingly to God, expressing your gratitude of what God has done for you in your life. Like this birthday offerings, these are free will offerings. Thanksgiving offerings, it could be because you've been praying for a job and employment, or for a child, or for marriage, and all those kind of things. You want to express your gratitude to God by, you know, giving him something because he's done something for you. That's a free will offering. Mm-hmm. But now, So we are not pushed, but, you know, God compels us. And this helps human beings. I think I'll move to that point soon. But now, as I just mentioned, that, you know, tithe is more like a commandment, which when we read in Leviticus chapter 27, verse 30, it says here, 30 to 32, it says, And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. That obviously separates it from the free will offering. Then verse 31 says, and if a man will at all redeem all his tithes, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. Now, this is where it becomes, when you eat tithe money, this is what the Bible says. So when you eat tithe money, when you return it, now you need to add 5% on top of the money that you have eaten. That is verse 31. Then verse 32 says, and concerning the tithe of the head of the flock, even of whatsoever passeth under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto the Lord. But now there's an express text where God sets it as a commandment. I think it's Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22. Let me just check the Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. No, it's not the one. Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. It also speaks about tithe, but it says, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. So it's just, we understand how God is actually particular. I think now, 2 Chronicles 31, verse 4 and 5. This is where the commandment is. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 4. The Bible says here, moreover, he commanded the people. Now it's clear now, because this is what God is saying. It says, moreover, he commanded the people that dwell in Jerusalem to give the portion of the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. In verse 5, and as soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all the things brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwell in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of the oxen and the sheep, and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by the heaps. And now verse 11, that takes us to the discussion we had last week. It says, then Hezekiah commanded to prepare chambers in the house of the Lord, and they prepared them and brought in the offerings and the tithes and the dedication things faithfully, of which Cononiah the Levite was ruler, and Shimei his brother was the next. So we have from 2 Chronicles chapter 31 that tithe was an express commandment from God, that he is entitled to the tithe. But the offerings, I mean, they are free will that, we express our gratitude to. But I think there's a lesson there, just to add this point concerning that. As I see it, and as I study, and I come to an understanding that, you know, it teaches us a lesson as human beings. The lesson that it teaches us is, as human beings, naturally, we are selfish. The spirit of selfishness, of hoarding, of pride, and all these things. So God, through that lesson of, you have to give something. Because tithe, sometimes, it is an element of a sacrifice of some sort. So there is that thing that comes out of you when you do that, when you give an offering. It helps you as an individual to be selfless, to be grateful, to understand that it's not only about you. There are other people around you in the world that need assistance and help from the Lord, because God is not here with us.
Yeah.
As much as the tithe money belongs to God, if the man doesn't go to heaven, the money still is used by the people that are responsible for that reason, to edify the church, for the helps and the needs of the community, to ministering to the people around us. So it helps us to deal away this with this greed, with this selfishness. And yeah,
that makes sense.
So that's a lesson I'm learning about giving. Mm, yeah,
that makes a lot of sense. I think one of the things that we will do in future is to then have a conversation, because there are things that you mentioned last week, and I love the fact that we went to the Old Testament, because the two things that you have definitely answered for a fact is that at some point it became a commandment. It was not just J. So there is that expectation. I love the point that you are making about dealing with our hearts and how we like hoarding and keeping things to ourselves, like we are greedy, we are stingy, and that, you know, giving just helps us to deal with those issues that many of us struggle with. And then seeing that, no, so even historically, the system of giving, of tithing, of offerings, has been there for many, many generations now. But the one thing that I don't think we have dealt with, which I think I'd like us to have a panel to discuss this one, you know, the different groups of people that used to get the necessary help as prescribed in the Bible, no longer getting that help. Can there be a way forward? Is there a possibility to improve the system so that everyone is catered for? We've got the prescription here from the Bible text that we read. So if those people are no longer recognized, why? And then what can we do about it? So that's where I would like us to go for a panel discussion that I think we will prepare for in future. But I think for today, good job, my friend. Thank you so much, Elder Trey, for coming through. Would you like to close with a prayer for us? This one is a tricky subject, I know.
Yeah, it's quite a hectic. Maybe before we close, I just want to read just one statement before I pray. It's from Councils on Stewardship, page 82. It says here, the Lord calls for his tithe to be given into his treasury. Strictly, honestly, and faithfully, let this portion be returned to him. Besides this, he calls for your gifts and offering. No one is compelled to present his tithe or his gifts and offerings to the Lord. But just as surely as God's word is given to us, just so surely will he inquire his own with usury at the hand of every human being. So, yeah, tithe is for everybody, it's for all human beings that we need to give back to the Lord and support his cause for the mission, for the work. And the world is in sin, and that needs to be done. To spread the love of Christ and God to the world. And as you have mentioned, that conversation, I think it needs to be there for the people that also are doing extraordinary work for this gospel to go around the world.
Amen.
Yeah. Right. Thank you. Let's pray. Gracious, dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful that your counsel comes clear to us, and you are helping us to learn and to grow as Christians as we understand these things. Teach us, Lord, to be selfless, deal with our selfishness and greed and hoarding and the spirit that is not good, because all this, it is because of your cause, and the beneficiaries are us human beings, because you necessarily don't need our money and all these offerings, but they are meant to circulate within us to prosper your love and your gospel. For this, we're grateful and thankful through the power of your Holy Spirit. May you continue to lead and to guide us. In your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Thank you so much. Have an amazing day. We will speak.
All right. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.